Good morning.
And it's a
isn't it?
Coming down, we came down this way.
We end up on the southern tier. Beautiful world.
Sunshine, many colors. I appreciate that more. Or, you know, where we're going, they've never seen us like that. They'll stop.
Dandel. Look at the beautiful flower. What flower? It's some weeds alongside the road. You know, get photographs of them standing by the dandelions and stuff.
So,
it's really, God has blessed us.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's good to see you. Some of you are not quite the people you used to be. You're slimming down and
healthy and praise the Lord.
I forget about how it works. If there's any money, any offering, my name on it, it's going to go to
ready for some translation. Her work is almost done.
She finished translating the book already.
But now
we're going through it like two or three more times just to be sure that it's
so that's where she is. And that. Speaking of this king,
chapter 23 of 2 Kings, verse 25. And like unto him, against King Josiah,
like unto this king,
was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart,
with all his soul,
with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for a glorious day. It's just a real blessing to be alive
today, to enjoy
your handiwork.
Thank you.
We could meet
peacefully here.
God,
before we even ask anything, we acknowledge that
you are God and there are no gods
beside you.
You are our creator. You are our sustainer. There are no gods like you. Lord, thank you that we could have a peaceful assembly.
I pray that the
Spirit of God would work easily in
the hearts of the hearers. As Brother Dale said,
we'd be both hearers and doers.
Lord, we give you the thanks. We give you the thanks for what's going to happen.
Lord, I pray that you'd help. Would you convey to me
a certain message
that's very clear in my mind? Lord, I pray that I could communicate clearly. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, since I've seen you last,
about
3 weeks ago. I went over to kind of set up and get things going. Didn't really work out very well.
Yeah, well,
we're set up with Mon and Tron. He's the owner of the Life Center. And I get there and I, hey, you know, I'm here. He goes, well, I'm in Israel. Oh, you're in Israel. You got a great
deal, you know.
Somehow we got to Israel. Yeah. You know? So he sent me pictures of him through some different things. You know, I'm excited. Sweating away. He's there, you know. Since that time, though, last period of time, my wife and I, Lucy's here, by the way. Lucy, can you stand? Yeah, I bet my better.
We've been
married for 29 years.
So,
most of them have years. We've had to say goodbye to four people that we love. I mean, they passed away. And, that's kind of hard. It's kind of tough. It's kind of tough to go with it. Because his mom died. And up in Springwater, Pastor Hass, I think it was Springway Baptist Church. He was an old friend of mine. Old Navy. He was a World War II Navy veteran. He's 91 years old. Passed away. And here I was there for his memorial. Part of that. In Vietnam, there was a lady, when we first went 19 years ago, we were just green as grass. I don't know anything. We landed in Saigon, and they took us off the airplane, and they thought we were CIA, and they wanted to know all this stuff, you know. It's not like it is now. Now there's tourists everywhere and stuff.
There was no tourism. There was nothing. And but who was there a year before we arrived? A person that would become our good friend. His name's Harvey. Harvey was a war American soldier. He was in the combat or construction battalion. CB. He had a girlfriend. Vietnamese girlfriend. He married her. Brought her home.
Well, after some time, they
went back as missionaries.
Got to Vietnam a year ahead of us. So Yvonne, her real name is Cool, and she was just, we were like infant children when we arrived at Vietnam. Don't know the language. I can't get water. I can't get food. I can't get anything. I don't know anything. I don't know anything. We met Harvey and Yvonne. And Yvonne just took us. So many things. Long story short, she passed away. My last trip over spent about a week with Harvey. I was supposed to be doing other things, but Harvey happened to be there, kind of
closing things down, you know. And
he went back, he was just shocked and lonely. They had been married 45 years.
Yvonne passed away.
I can tell you a story. She was a bargain. She was a real piece. Whatever it was, she would. What did you buy that for? I don't know. $5. Give it to me. Take it back. She'd come back with the same thing.
$4.
And change back.
You know, the only next time you are shopping, you take me with you. She'd get kind of like.
See, I've seen it with Scotsmen. I've seen it with Jewish people, but I've never seen a Vietnamese work.
And they have
an old saying that if you have two women and one duck, you have a market. Is that duck will go
back and forth?
Really get two good cheaper, you know. She kind of like she's a price. She's got to buy some pineapples for us. We don't want pineapples. She's got to buy pineapples. She's going to buy some trunk for the pineapples because they're cheaper. But the pineapple boy is moving fast enough, low enough. She kind of gets that look in her eye. She started rocking. She started looking that pineapple boy in the eye. That kid starts to sweat. Does your father know that you're not selling pineapples? Does your father know that you're going to take it home and you're going to rock tomorrow? I know your mother. I exercise with her at the airport. The kid's really sweaty.
So you know, we got a truckload of pineapples for Lucy and I.
We haven't liked pineapples since
then. It's kind of a sin.
Kind of eats your
teeth away, but you know, that's right.
When I was in Vietnam last month, I got word from
my wife that one lady I work for, I do
lawn care and stuff part time, but I carry a little cash.
Her name is Anne. She's an older
widow lady.
She was killed.
Head on accident. So we went to her memorial as well.
So
memorials have been kind of what we've been doing. And I noticed that memorials, I've done a couple of them sometimes, I'm just
expecting her to.
I want us to build. Here's awkward.
Sometimes the memorials are for really good people, and it's really easy. You can just talk about, or you can elicit a speech from somebody about who they were. Nobody ever says what they did. It might be a joke, but it's, who are you? You are this kind of a person. They remember that you were kind, or they remember that you were this, or they remember who you are. Nobody says, oh, I remember Anne because she had, you know, six figures in her account, or she, you know, had a new Lexus or something. They don't talk about that. Who are you? What are you to me? How much did you love me? That's how much I miss you. That's how much I miss them.
Today, this morning, I'm not going to be long, but I happen to read, if you will, the eulogy of good King Josiah. What a king this guy was. What a character.
What a great character.
Someone that we could easily copy. There was no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all
his might,
according to the law of Moses. Neither ever.
I've got a couple of great uncles that are buried just on the other side of the line, Pennsylvania line, Ulysses, Pennsylvania. We looked at their tombstone, you know, and it was nicely done. I'm trying to be respectful, but one of the uncles has got a etched on his stone is a backhoe. Because he was a backhoe. That was what he did. If I kick the bucket today or, you know, in Vietnam, you don't have to do a backhoe. Don't etch a backhoe. Don't have to put anything like. But if he wanted to say, you know, he loved the Lord or he served with all his might or something like that, you know.
Let's look at that. Let's look at about King Josiah. We can emulate
some of his characteristics. Go back to 2 Kings 21. Verse 20.
I will
do my best to bring him home in good. My number one priority is our health and safety. Because if I'm sick or he's sick, the whole thing's a wipeout. You know, it's no good when we're sick. And we don't want to go to a Vietnamese hospital.
Yeah.
I've done that route. So, you know, I'll do my best to bring him back. But meantime, let the party begin, right? Just kidding, just
kidding.
Back the whip. None of that business.
So when it's my turn.
When you don't see me, when you view me. Or in their little cluster.
By the way, I'm going to be preaching this next week, I think, or going there. Sort of an introduction of what the seminar was coming on. I want to be when they're in their little
clashes and they don't know what to say. It's kind of awkward. And they think, hey, I wonder what happened to his shotguns.
You know, that's what they're thinking, you know.
I wonder where his Lexus went to,
or whatever, you know. Where's his stuff? Wouldn't it be nice if they said something really good things in the past? That even though you've passed on, your race is run. Not Lucy's mother and father have passed away, but I mentioned in their memorial, her memorial, that her characteristics are still living. You can see her in her children. They behave the same way they have the same character. So, still there. 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 20. So just for sake, I'll shorten it. And he, speaking of Josiah's father, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. Now Manasseh, Josiah's grandfather, was one of the most wicked kings there ever was. He was so evil. In fact, the judgment that's pending, that's about to come upon Judah, is a result of Josiah's grandfather's sin. There, the shoe is about to drop on all of them.
Remember, at this time, the northern kingdom's already gone. They're gone, they're out of here. All that's left is Judah. And Judah, despite the object lesson of the northern kingdom, they're pursuing the same junk. It's kind of like the U.S. today. Despite all the object lessons of kingdoms that have come and gone, God's blessing, and so on, we still were, most of our leaders are evil people. They are. And yet, Josiah was very, very good. If you're building a
nice memorial, somebody say something good about you. You can do that. You're not constrained by your family's history. Josiah, again, use a colloquialism, Josiah was not dealt a very good hand in life. His father was evil and his grandfather was eviler. Amen? They were bad people. And yet this young man made decisions based on faith. He believed what God said. And he made decisions based on believing what God said. Some of us, we've had, probably it's in a room this size, is probably a mixed lot. Some of us have had very good, reasonably stable parents. Some of you have had, you've had a bad hand dealt to you. I'm sorry. Don't let it stop you from being who God wants you to be. We don't fall back on that excuse. It's the same, well, I can't help it. I'm Irish, or I'm Italian, or I'm a missionary, or whatever. No, you decide. Are you old enough to decide? You're old enough to vote. You make
your own decisions.
Yes, sir.
Right.
As Josiah, it should not be you and me. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, you know the rest of this verse, he is a new creature. Doesn't mean we have disrespect for the people that have done
before us.
Contrary. We can show
respect to them by
living and being good people, whether they were or not.
Amen.
I think you'll find out, too, as you get older. It's easy when you're young to be critical of your parents
and your grandparents.
Then you're a grandparent.
Then you're a parent. And you look and see, maybe we're a lot the same, Maybe we're not evil, but is anybody here a parent that says, I'm a perfect parent? I've done everything perfect. Does anyone here says, my parents were perfect parents? They did everything. I don't think so.
If you did,
But everyone here can say, God help me. I have decisions to make about my everyday life. Every day I make decisions. God help me to exercise faith, choose well, and choose wisely. Josiah did that.
He can turn that. He doesn't have to stay in that groove of chapter 22, verse 4. Well, time has passed, and Josiah issues a command. He's been a king now for 18 years, so he's about 26 years old, and he starts making good decisions. Look at 22, verse 4. Go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered the people. And let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work. You know that money that we collect? Here's what we're going to do with that money.
We're going to put it to work. Here's how we're going to do it. We're going to give it to those who are working. What a concept, right? We're going to give it to the doers of the work. Deliver God's resources to those who are spending God's resources. Because they're doing it. You know what a missionary does? It's
that's like a mission statement. You won't find missionary in the Bible. That's a pretty good definition. I take resources.
We do something with it. Amen? Pastor, I don't know.
Your church has already paid for the airplane ticket. I'm expecting to pay your hotel. In fact, it's already paid. And we got a nice one. We got a one-star hotel. They change the sheets every night, every day. They move from this room to that room. They change them.
They just go down the line. You know, they're changed. You know. I want you to know that God's people have given me some resources, and I'm spending them. You know, we're taking some group of young leaders out and some friends
from the Philippines and so on.
Make sure who they are, but. We're going to get them out of their environment, get them out of the city, and we're going to spend some time. We're going to let your pastor loose on that.
He's going to hold a court every morning. We're going to have devotions.
He's just going to spend time with them. We're going to develop these young people.
This is kind of crude, but here's a guy that has a lot of, he's got a well of information. He's a good Bible guy.
If I could liken it to a sponge
that's just full of stuff, I'm taking him over. Good stuff. I'm taking them over and I'm kind of squeezing them out on the Vietnamese, you know? Like, here. I hope he comes back empty and tired and spent. And then he can be recharged. We want to go and empty what we've got there to build them.
We give them. We deliver to the hand of the doers. And let them give it to the doers of the work. Which is in the house of the Lord, and repair it unto the carpenters, and so on and so forth. Deliver to the doers. Matthew 20:6-21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be. There will your heart be. We're following the money. Right? You want to find a crime, follow the money. You want to find the work of God, follow the money. That's where your heart is. That's where it's all about. Invest in the doers. Josiah is a man. One of the first things he did as a king, when he had the ability, when he took the resources that he had,
that was under his control to manage, and he directed it into God's work. I'm not making it to through
more offerings or anything like that. I'm saying, what a good thing to do. What a good thing. And when you look,
good things start happening when your heart is tuned to doing good things.
Look at verse 8. Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, love this.
Oh, I have found the book of the law.
Look what we found over there to work. What is it?
It's the book of the law. Whoa. Can I see it? What is it?
What have they been doing?
Thy servants have, found the book of the law in the house of the Lord, and Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it.
Shaphan the scribe came to the king, in verse 9 now,
and brought the king word again and said, thy servants, here's the first thing, and we talked about that money before we took it. The servants have gathered the money that is found in the house and have delivered it into the hands of them that do the work and that have the oversight of the house of the Lord.
And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, there's one more thing, O king. Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book.
And Shaphan
read it before the king. And it came to pass,
when the king heard the words of the book of the law,
that he rent his clothes. What's that mean? Rent to own? You know, sell to own?
Sharon, can I rent that suit? That's pretty nice. Is that a 44 regular? I'll rent it for a week, you know.
like around Texas. No, you know, it's just in anguish. They would take their garments and just, they'd tear them. It would look terrible. They would just, so much like anguish and pain.
The reds would tear, you know.
What's going on here?
Well, I can only hope that the events that we just read are not events that happened in your house.
Pastor comes to visit on a Friday. Pastor Aspel's coming to our house. He just called
or texted or however you communicate, you know, send us a phone signal, whatever.
And where's our Bible? We got to get one of those big family Bibles. We got to have it open. We got to pretend. We got to make a cardboard cathedral around our kitchen table and pretend that we have a devotions. So where is that? It's in the back of the car where we left on Sunday. You know what I mean? We got to go out there. We got to get that book. Blow that dust off of that. We got to, you know, make real nice like we do this all the time and so on and so forth.
Look, we found a book. Hey, why don't we read it? Look what happens when we read it. Look, even the king, look how he responds. I'm sure all this time as a king, 18 years, he's heard a lot of information.
And yet he's probably never read or heard information like he just read or heard from this book of the law. What other would think king rent his clothes in public anguish? Probably that could be the very first time that he would respond in such a way like that. There's just so much power in the word.
I know a guy. I'll just call him Peter. Okay, you can think of any name. Well, I'm going to call Peter.
When I went to Bible school a long time ago, 30 years ago, I met Peter. Peter was the pastor's son from the Finger Lakes area. Peter had gone to every church camp and school and brought up very well and so on and so forth. But Peter was a lazy, good-for-nothing bum. He was a conniver. He was just no good. He was lazy. And he'd just make excuses, and he'd mumble around, and he'd find a verse to... He's always trying to contradict anything, and he just... I wonder if he was even looking for, I don't know. I don't know what he believes, but... You know, 30 years later, I met Peter again. A couple years ago, I met Peter again. You know, Peter's exactly the same. After all those years, I know he's gone to a good church. I know he's heard many a good sermons by the great national guys and by the small local guys. He's heard a lot.
No effect.
No change. Unlike King Josiah, he heard the word and it went right to his heart and it affected him. How long has it been since the Word of God has really affected you? It hurts you.
Yes.
I was on a plane about a month ago. The Word of God came to me. There was nothing I could do. I was stuck between these Chinese guys. One guy was sneezing on me. Oh, it's gross. You know, you hear him sneezing and you feel it. Ugh. Gross. And I'm in the window, I'm not in the aisle, I can't get out, I can't move around, I can't do anything, I can't plug into anything. I'm sick of that. There's nothing on the TV screen, and I don't know how to use that dumb thing, and all kinds of, I'm too tired to read. I just sat there and I started to pray. A psalm came to me, I cried unto the Lord with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. Poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. My spirit was overwhelmed within me. Then thou knewest my path. The way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked in my right hand and beheld, but no man would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul.
Yes.
So I cried unto thee, O Lord, from an airplane seat. Thou art my refuge. And my portion in the land of the living.
how long has it been since you just got the book out or just had a time, and that is something God uses in his word. Just tears you up and makes you new. Oh, let it be a characteristic that's not long in your life.
Delighted in the word of God. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Says of this man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You and me, you know.
Sometimes we just endure.
Right?
How long before we're ending? You know, it's football season there. We're nothing, you know.
We should enjoy it. We relish it.
Even when it hurts, it's a good hurt. It's good for us.
God would change us. Finally, I got to skip a lot of stuff. I could spend a lot of energy.
What he's known for was after these things, he cleaned up. I mean, the bars closed in town. All the idols and all that junk, you know, everything was gone. He cleaned house. All those false, the false priests and all their junk and all their prepared out, stepped at the dust, it's all gone. He's known for that.
And here's something that I think, and this is to the point of our trip this time. And this is the point why I'm borrowing your pastor. Look at chapter 23, verse 1. And the king sent. He's on a roll.
He is on a roll.
And they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, all the inhabitants, of Jerusalem with him, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read it. He read
in their ears
all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. Everyone gather around! You gotta know this!
Get everybody. I don't care what your class is, high, low, medium, whatever. Whatever you look like, whatever you smell like, whatever you sound like, gather around and listen to the word of God.
There's a guy that's converted. You know what we're going to try to do? God help us.
We're gathering some people together
in the next couple weeks.
And they're going to hear what God has to say. Gather around.
We're going to teach others. Then, after this,
these action things
that he's known for come about. All the cleaning up. Before those action things, though.
Then, before the doing, this is who he is. You won't be remembered by what you do, but we'll remember you by who you are. A decision that you can make. I pray that this is something that you are. I pray that you're a teacher, a ready teacher of the Word of God. You know how to give an answer to every man. You can do that. Because it's just second nature to you. You live that way. I give a quiz. I got three things in my heart, my life, three prayer requests that everybody has. It's a relationship problem. It's a health problem and a money problem.
Does the Bible say anything about those? Dad, can you teach your children that? Mom, can you teach your children that?
You have to memorize three verses. It's a pop quiz when we're at our getaway. We're going to do this too. I think so. I think we could probably get about 30 verses. But let's start with three. Amen? Let's let the Word of God in. Our reactions be second nature.
Let's be teachers of the word. Before we did the action things, but we did the character things. That's my point this morning. Who are you? There'll be a time when you can't talk for yourself. Others will be talking about you. and we'll know who you really are.
You
can start writing your own memorial in your own life right now. And you can start having influence.
It's not by what you do. It's not by how much
money you have or how nice you are.
Who are you? What's your character? What's your nature?
May I say this? It doesn't matter about your family and your circumstances. I was born a poor black child in the county of Alabama. I was born a middle-class farmer outside of Buffalo, right? It doesn't matter. Are you old enough to make your own life decisions? Who's going to respond? I'm sorry if you have a good hand. And I know it does hurt. And I know this is baggage. But do you think God could help you?
Yes.
Do you think God could make a good preacher out of you? Do you think he's able to do that?
Yes, I think so. We could probably find examples in the Bible where he did exactly that.
Yeah, yeah. You could direct resources to the doors of the Word. Amen?
Because there's a part where your mind goes, you know what? You know what you're interested in? Where's my money? What's it doing? Is it working? Is it doing something?
You keep it.
You hoard it. Where's your heart? I'm not saying to be stupid, don't think that.
But don't be conscious. Don't be greedy. Give thanks. Worship God. That usually means a sacrifice. That's why it's called a sacrifice. Do you think God can't take care of you? Seriously. Oh, I could tell you story after story after story. God can take care of us. Most of us, he's so taken care of us, we need to lose some of the care that he's given to us.
We can delight in God's word.
We can delight in it. No, it's not correct.
Lucy and I are right now, we're reading in 1 Chronicles. I have to confess, you know, it's oh boy, let's read another chapter.
We practice every guy's name. I don't know if we get that close, but we try, you know, we do it. There's a gem in there. We learn something. Like that. There's always something. There's a proposition to study or something. It's good. We delight it. God has it in there for a reason. Doesn't mean I understand it.
They're always
actually glad. If God's mind is higher than our mind,
aren't you glad?
It's good. And finally,
we can determine to teach others. I learned this great message from Pastor Asquith or Pastor Hain or Brother Dale.
I've been listening to your website, whatever the thing is.
Oh, that's good. You know what I think I'll do?
I think I'll copy it. Can I teach others that? Is that all right? I learned something. I want to teach others that. What that means when he says to testify. We can teach him something. We can dedicate you.
Just talk to your neighbor. Lucy and I, sometimes we're weak and the other one's stronger. But we keep a Bible at the table. We keep a Bible in the car. We read our chapter every day. So only one chapter? Well, we start there. If I'm in a study, I might be there for hours. We start there. God knows we'll be there. God knows that we'll be in 1 Chronicles chapter 24 tomorrow. He has something to tell us. He knows we'll meet us there. And we'll know that's from him, not us finding the answer. That's a good start. These are just faith decisions you can decide to do. Someday, when I'm done, honestly.
May I say before I close it, I do appreciate you lending
the pastor to me.
He's one of the few men that's come back.
So praise the Lord.
May I say, someday it'll be our turn, and you won't see me, you won't hear me. Actually, not going to hear me either, but you know what I'm saying. It'll be a memorial.
I'm working on it now.
I'm working out what you're going to say about me now.
That's right, yeah.
You should work on what others are going to say about me. Now,
I don't care what you do. I could care less. Find something that I found on an airplane seat of all places, you'll find joy.
I gotta get a vacation. I'm just so wound up, so tired, so much is going on. I just gotta get out of here. After that time with God, 6 hours of prayer and just confessing, I confessed fears and pride and sin, I confess sin, I confess my sin, I confess your sin. I had so much time, you know. We went out and you guys are good, by the way, you know. I'm almost looking forward to another flight, but maybe not, you know.
I found joy. I don't need a vacation. I'm going to go back to work. I was thinking that vacation.
That's good.
Pastor Hayne, you can be coming forward to sing our last hymn. I just wanted to say a couple things here.
One of them is my church vote